You know, let's visit. Of course, we're catching up at Commodity Classic. ASGA always here, obviously, at this meeting and connecting with at folks at this meeting. Your schedule also gets busy for the next week as you head to D.C. Time for making some of those hill visits once again.
Yeah, so it's great to come to the Commodity Classic and catch up on basically all things agriculture and talk to farmers from all across the country and vendors as well. And then, as you mentioned, is the timing happens to coincide with our annual fly-in as the American Sugar Beet Growers Association. Going right from here to D.C., where we'll do 2 weeks of fly-ins to talk a little bit about Farm Bill with the legislators, our legislators and legislators from across the United States. So pretty interesting work.
What's the message? Obviously, it's really a key time, basically trying to deal with appropriations before we get into this Farm Bill.
Yeah, I think the timing of the Farm Bill is really up in the air. I don't know that anybody has their finger on the pulse of when that could be. The message is very clear from agriculture, with the input prices going up 30% plus since the previous Farm Bill. We need a little bit more of a safety net if we're going to have a locally produced, American-produced, safe, affordable food supply. What that is, I don't really know. I don't think anybody has the answer, but much of it depends upon what you just mentioned. I mean, how does the appropriations process work, and what monies are available to support some of these programs, including food safety and food production?
Yeah, crop insurance, certainly part of that.
Yeah, you know, I think John Hovind's, one of his proposals is to be a even more of a supporter of crop insurance, and nothing that anybody in our neck of the woods certainly would object to. It's a big part of it. It's a big part of protecting the nation's food supply, definitely.
So when you take a look at that message, it seems like there's going to be an open amendment process, and that gets to be a very hairy time for a lot of those more controversial issues when it comes to a Farm Bill, including sugar.
Sugar is very accustomed to anti-sugar amendments, and you're right. The amendment process can get messy because in my view as a farmer, it provides an opportunity for any legislator to make a statement publicly by introducing an amendment, whether the amendment goes to a vote or is pulled on the floor of the House, for example, or just before it gets to the floor. It's an opportunity to make a statement, but it's certainly something that sugar specifically is always wary of, and we always prevail on those amendments because we have a sound policy and honest facts to go along with it.
So obviously having some of our key individuals on Ag Committee and some of those key positions, we've got a more urbanized Congress all the time, even on the Ag Committee. How big of a challenge is that as we continue to see that transition?
You know, I think you've heard the statistics over and over and over again. What is the number? Over 250 legislators will be voting on a Farm Bill who have never voted on a Farm Bill before, who may have no connection to a farm or even understand what a Farm Bill is. You and I and your listeners know that the Farm Bill is mostly a food bill and the importance of food. It's a challenge, it's just a different message, and it's a matter of getting out to Washington, D.C., getting in those doors, and letting them know the important work that we do as farmers to feed a hungry world.
There's nobody more effective than the beet growers when it comes to those kind of meetings.
We're a smaller industry in sugar beets, certainly very prevalent in the state of Minnesota and the state of North Dakota. But well organized, I think, I dare say, even among the other commodities I raise, it would certainly be the envy of the other commodities as organized as we are.